want your crown. Be trampled in the streets. Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now? Now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far finally wandered for the years of silent apathy. To God we now repent for the years of work we might have done that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, this land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won, yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
And good morning. Welcome to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning, November 20th, 2021. We welcome you folks out there. And I know we've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Jason. Good morning, everyone.
And I don't know, did we get anybody else to join us yet?
I haven't heard anybody else.
Okay, yet. Sounds good. We'll turn it over to you, Tim. Why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
I sure will. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, another opportunity to shine and to serve our God, the God of the true God of the world, the Creator, the infinite power in the universe. Lord, we know that your ways are not our ways, but that all that you do is right and just and true. Lord, we thank you for that proclamation. Lord, our ideas or ideals are flawed, and Lord, when we forgive us for the times when we are reprobate in our thoughts, Lord, that we don't allow for the fact in our mind that our God is good and our God is great and our God is righteous. He's a righteous judge. Lord, we just call for your ways to be made manifest upon this country that you created, Lord, and that you brought together. Lord, we thank you for your judgment, for your righteousness over us. And Lord, we pray that you'd make a way for your people that we might not be collateral damage. Lord, we just claim Psalm 91 that no disease would come near our tent. Lord, that we would walk in your ways and your precepts, and Lord, that you would protect us, that they would follow the left and they'd follow the right, but we would be untouched. Lord, I pray for your people, wherever they might be in this world, Lord, that you would send your angels to walk with them, to guide them and direct them so that they don't dash their foot on the stone. Lord, lift them up, grant them peace, and just give them blessings till their cup overflows. Lord, I pray you'd help this broadcast this morning to reach those, to bring hope, to bring joy, and to bring thoughtfulness to to the things that you would like to have seen. Lord, put words in our mouth that they might be pleasing and honoring to us. Lord, prosper the work of your people's hands that they might be financially, spiritually, and physically bettered as a result of it. God, we just pray and ask this, believing that it will be accomplished. We pray it in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ and ask it by his blood. Lord, heal all those who are sick. Christ.
Amen. And there is a lot of different things going on in the world. Tim, where do you want to start off with this morning?
Well, I was doing some reading, and I feel sometimes like we kind of wear this out, and so we don't have to stay on it too long if it's not suitable, but I think it's interesting that the Oklahoma National Guard is saying, they're not in love with the whole vaccine idea, and I believe that according to the military statistics, 72-76% of the military has been vaccinated, but it's interesting that they're really worked up about it and really upset about that other 20-something%, and we're not really hearing a lot about it anymore, you know, and whenever they go quiet on it, it's usually a bigger problem than you can imagine. So I tend to think that we've got some interesting things going on there, and, you know, I just, there's some of those kinds of issues that are like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. So I did see that, and I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. There's so many things changing in people's perceptions. You know,
yeah, I think that was Mancino. Isn't that the Brigadier General of the National Guard over there in Oklahoma?
I can't remember. Thomas Mancino. Yeah, that was his name. Yeah. He told his troops they would, quote, face no negative administrative or legal action if they refused the Shaw. Yeah. You know, so go Oklahoma. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Basically, the way that I understand it, he works for the governor of the state of Oklahoma. I think that's what he was at, quote, also on record of saying. And the governor, he opposes the vaccine mandate as well.
Yes.
And he said, "I'm working for the governor. I'm not working for Washington D.C." So I know that that's
right.
Raising quite a stink, but good for him. I mean, and you look around and see what's there's people that are standing up. I've been really enjoying following DeSantis and seeing what he's doing over there in Florida too. And I talked to day before yesterday. I was talking with a doctor who was on vacation down there, and she was telling me how great it was down there, how she got off the plane and there was no masks, everything was just business as usual, things are booming down there, they're bringing industry down there, and she said you can see it, you know, she said it is like stepping into a different country down here, just because there is so many it's just so active, and you don't even hear about COVID. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, and I've just been surprised. We have a lot of people go through, and I've been surprised how many of them are coming back with not necessarily what I think, but just the wheels are turning. You know what I mean?
I do.
I mean, in their mind.
Well, and it's amazing how fast things can change in different areas, too, because I was talking with Jim, a guy that I do a lot of work with, and he lives up in just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, and don't get to town a whole lot, but he called me yesterday from town, and he said, is there something that happened that I didn't hear about? Because I'm in town, and every single person is wearing a mask. He said, I haven't seen one person that's not wearing a mask.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're talking Laramie, Wyoming. Now, Colorado is...
I was going to say.
You might expect it down here, but at the same time, you go places, and what I noticed is, not being into town and going places for a couple of days, is that there is a lot more people wearing masks, and now it's required at the post office again. They got turned in for not wearing a mask, people not wearing a mask in there. And so they got in trouble for that. So now they had to put their sign back up and make it mandatory for people to enter the post office with they have to wear a mask, otherwise that they're not allowed in there. And
oh wow.
So yeah, it's just but it changes in just a matter of days. It's kind of crazy.
Well, and yes, absolutely. And this whole thing is on so much of a deeper level than just the medical aspect of it. I mean, I think that we're seeing, people are waking up who you just were like, in some cases you're like, wow, I never thought I'd see that. So they're to the point that they're, and the problem with that is once that starts, they start looking at other things. You know, and it's, I know that they're talking about all these, what would you call it, mutations off the vaccination and everything. And there's just all kinds of issues with that. And that's becoming very widespread, very publicized. People are upset about it, you know, and it's like, well, you've been warned, you know, that stuff's going on, or that it's, it's a possibility. So,
yes.
And in the other news, it's probably everybody who is kind of keeping an eye on things knows that. Let's talk about Kyle Rittenhouse a little bit. he was found not guilty on all five counts. You know, thank you, Jesus. I mean,
yes.
I know he is thanking God.
Yes.
So, didn't you find that a breath of fresh air? Really?
I did. I really did. And they, you know, to see what they... Did that all of a sudden get louder?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Let's try that. Testing 1, 2. Okay. Yeah, that was that was really good news. Acquitted on all five charges. Boy, and that, I don't know if anybody watched part of that trial. I watched some of the headlines on it, but I didn't follow it a lot. But, boy, they were really trying to crucify him. They pulled out, they didn't hold back on anything, that's for sure.
No, and I did watch some of the actual trial footage, not all of it, but, I'd kind of check in on some of the highlights here and there. And, one of the things that kind of left me just a little bit, the judge, I was watching him, and he would get upset, you know, and at the prosecutor. And I got the distinct impression that God was really at work there, because it seemed to me like he was kind of fighting it word-wise. Did you notice that? Sometimes?
I did, yes.
He was chewing the guy out, but he was like... And I was like, I think somebody's poking him right along, you know, to do the right thing.
And one thing that I noticed was there was one clip that I watched, and it was the prosecutor who was prosecuting Rittenhouse, and he was asking, he asked, I don't know, one of the one of the guys that Kyle either supposedly shot or pointed a gun at, and he asked him. He said, "At what point did Kyle take his AR-15 and aim it at you?" And he said, "When I pulled out my pistol and was aiming it at him." And he's like, "So you pulled out your pistol and you were aiming it at him, and then he pointed his AR-15 at you." And he's like, "Yeah." And I mean, you talk about self-defense. If there ever was an explanation, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and I was talking to some of the guys yesterday, and it was one of the things I said is, I said, "Well, okay, according to this definition of this burden of proof thing, you have to have been in fear for your life." Well, I don't know about you, but if I had a bunch of people hitting me in the head with skateboards and this big mob coming at me, you know, they don't all have to have weapons in their pocket. I mean, you can be a mob, don't have any trouble beating you to death, or a big group of guys. So define fear for your life. Of course, there's a point there where you're going to be like, "Well, they kept up with me, I'm in trouble." But go ahead.
And one of the guys that he shot, I can't remember. I think it was around 10 charges of molesting children between 9 and 14 years of age.
Yeah, there was, you know, the whole thing just stunk. I mean, in any other state, it would have just went away, but they were just trying to make a point, and God made one out of them. So I think that, you know, praise the Lord, and
I did hear that the National Guard got called out on several different places, and they were preparing for riots. But as far as I've heard, that there was not, there has not been any riots or anything over that. Have you heard of anything happening?
No, I heard the same thing. I heard they activated the National Guard, but they were saying that there was more journalists outside the courthouse there at Kenosha. I think it was Kenosha. Then there were, you know, protesters. There weren't really any protesters to speak of. And that's interesting to me, too, because, you know, they made all these threats and they made everything else about people going to die and they're going to burn things down. This served as you're on notice to them too. So I think that it's like, yeah, well, do you want a repeat performance? Because you guys go starting stuff and kicking up a big mess. Why people will respond, and it probably won't be the way you want. And I think it emboldens the people that. And I love all this business with all the politicians saying, "Well, you know, the system works, so I guess we just have to, you know, accept it." And my opinion is the system doesn't work, but God does. And I think this was just nothing short of a miraculous and divine intervention on the part of Calvin. So, you know, it just made me smile all over. I think that's one of those thank you Jesus moments. That's the way I feel about it. So that's all it was. I think as far as I know, under double jeopardy, there's nothing else they can do now, right? He was tried, he was acquitted. That's the end of it. So.
Yeah, I sure hope so. It'd be a waste of.
They can't give him a hard time anymore.
Right. That's what I understand.
Did you
hear anything about that Maxwell trial starting? Who is the associate with Epstein? Are you there?
Hello? Here you are. I don't know. Okay. It kind of cut out. Say that again. The Maxwell trial.
Yeah, what? The associate of Epstein. Did you hear anything about that?
I don't think I have. No.
I know that they just started that trial, too, and there's not a whole lot of coverage on it, but it says the long-awaited sex trafficking trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, a former girlfriend and longtime associate of the disgraced billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, begins November 29th in New York. Maxwell was arrested by the FBI on charges related to Epstein's sex trafficking ring in June 2020. She was closely linked with Epstein for years, who died by apparent suicide in August 2019. While he was in jail awaiting trial over charges that he had trafficked and sexually abused dozens of underage girls, according to the federal indictment against her. Maxwell is accused of helping Epstein recruit, groom, and ultimately abuse girls, some as young as 14, as well as lying about it under oath in an effort to conceal her crimes. Maxwell has repeatedly denied the many accusations against her and managed to dodge charges for years until her recent arrest. Here's what to know about Maxwell and her upcoming trial. According to federal indictment, Maxwell facilitated Epstein's abuse of minors, girls, for years. The 2020 federal indictment against Maxwell mirrors claims that many of Epstein's alleged victims have long made that Maxwell was a central figure in Epstein's sex trafficking ring. In particular, the indictment reads, from at least in or about 1994 up to including at least in or about 1997. Maxwell assisted, facilitated, contributed to Jeffrey Epstein's abuse of minor girls by, among other things, helping Epstein to recruit, groom, and ultimately abuse the victims known to Maxwell and Epstein to be under the age of 18. And it goes on and on. But, where's the national coverage on that? That's kind of... It seems like has been one of the things that has been kind of covered up. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't know a whole lot about
the implications of that trial and of that entire scandal. Scandal is a very mild word for that. It's a heinous situation. But the entire situation there has really far-reaching implications. I mean, all these people were involved in that, and they were high-ranking and powerful people, and I think a lot of this hoopla going on out there in the media today and everything is just to divert attention from them. I mean, I think that this child trafficking and everything else is it's huge. I mean, I probably am understating it, you know what I mean? But it's massive. I mean, you know, we don't know how many people were involved and how many people. I mean, we had clear back when we had people talking about the child trafficking and the things that were going on, you know, with all that. So it's not a new situation. It just continues to be covered up, shuffled under the rug, and look the other way. It's satanic. So it is.
It really is. I noticed.
Well, DeCamp talked about it in his book, you know, I mean, way back when. And that's a tough read. I mean, I don't think I've ever made it clear through that. I just can't do it. But
what is it?
DeCamp's book. Senator, he was a senator from Nebraska.
Oh, I don't think I've read it.
I'm trying to think what it's called. He spoke at one of the camps. It's been going on for 30 years or 40 years and probably since the Garden, but it's not new. I mean, and that's what those people do. You know, steal, kill, and destroy, and she's just one of those people. So, whether she was dropped on her head as a baby or not nursed long enough, or you know, whatever happened to her, that's still no excuse for that kind of behavior.
Yeah, it's interesting. They did you see that? I don't know. I've seen a couple of these things that have come across my desk, and I don't know if you know anything about it, but this one reads, rolling blackouts possible in Texas Midwest as cold blast looms. The North American Electric Reliability Corporation, the NERC, a nonprofit corporation responsible for overseeing U.S. power grid, published a new report on the risks of rolling blackouts if persistent cold weather is observed this winter. NERC's three-month December through February winter report and its assessment that identifies potential reliability issues of interest across six regional power grids. And I've heard several things about that. We actually experiencing warmer than normal weather out here. And I thought that this was kind of interesting because I've just seen a lot of things that have talked about the grid possibly going down. And it seems like they're blaming it on different things. And this one, blaming it on extreme cold weather, which it almost... it almost makes you think that they're just trying to prepare people and get people ready for something like that. That they're they're telling people what they're gonna do before they do it, maybe.
Yeah. I think that what they're doing is they're attempting to cast that spell of bringing about a mental condition where people are. Find it an acceptance in their mind to the fact that that could happen. We're seeing fuel prices go through the roof for no reason. And those things all affect power generation. Anytime fuel goes up, it affects power generation because all of your power is generated using some form of fuel, whether it's natural gas or coal or fuel oil or whatever. But the simple fact of the matter is that's how it's done. And they can. And a lot of these people are on. My son's on a budget plan for his natural gas, for example. And he said, I wondered how this would affect it. But his budget plan has doubled.
Really?
I mean. So,
now that's for natural gas for heating his house and hot water and stuff like that?
Yes, yeah. And the whole purpose of those budget plans is to protect you from that, but in what they call catastrophic conditions.
So is that when is the budget plan, is that, explain that a little bit, is that when you pay the same amount every year, or like 12 months out of the year?
Yes, yeah. They basically take what they estimate that your gas bill will be in this case, and then they just divide it by 12 for the annual gas bill, and you pay that every month. So, even though you're not using gas in summer, you're still paying $40 a month, but they bank that for, say, wintertime when you're using the furnace or whatever, and that way people can, budget their incomes and have a more stable living condition, and now they're going ahead and raising it. And I think he said his went from it was running about $40 a month to like 80, 35 to 70, whatever it was something like that. But it basically doubled. So, which is like he said, that's not catastrophic, but it's not very nice either. So, but yeah. And so we're seeing that go on, and I know that electrical costs have continued to go up. I mean, we've had a couple of rate changes here, and we're on a cooperative, power generating cooperative, so they are maintaining the price a little better because they also supply power to the grid, and they have excess. So if they have excess, they sell it to the grid. If they don't, it goes on. Goes local, but it's one of those things. I mean, their prices are going up, and the other thing about the fuel prices rising is those power plants require trucks to bring supplies, parts, and the guys got to get to work every day, all those sort of things. So that all figures into their overhead, and the power grid. There's been so much carrying on about the power grid defective, the power grid bad, and my my thought the other day was, is, you know, we had all this problem with in the automotive industry about, oh, these were just, they just weren't reliable, they just weren't this, they weren't that. Most of these new vehicles are much less reliable. I mean, I hear stories every day about people buying new vehicles, and it's like, well, and then it broke down and wouldn't run, and it's been in the shop, it's been at the dealership for, you know, 4 months waiting for parts. You just didn't hear those kind of stories 20 years ago, you know. I mean, so they want to make the, where I'm going with that is, they want to make the power grid more complex and have more remote capability and controls on it, and that's going to make it weaker. You know, a mechanical switch that has to be flipped by a person can't have somebody hack a computer and flip the switch. You know what I'm saying? And there's a whole bunch of that stuff going on, and they're selling people a bill of goods. It's like, no, that works again. And it requires somebody to do it, but that's okay too. So there's so much of this. I'm always reminded in the Bible, says, you know, beware of the sons of AI. Don't we?
Yes. And, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, the more dependent we come on that, become on that, the more exposed we are, the more, you know, we're much more able to be damaged or controlled remotely. So, you know, you hear a lot of these stories, and it doesn't matter whether it's communications or whether it's electrical generation or fuel deliveries or any number of things. So I think that I just think it's an interesting thing to see. And like I say, when people get to thinking about it, then the wheels start turning. Once that happens, people get, it's like, well, if they're doing that, what are they doing over here? So let's apply what we know, you know, what we know over here. So, and see how it burns up. And in regards to that, I thought it was interesting that, you know, they're trying to blame it on inflation to some degree, but used car prices are just going crazy right now. There was an article on that, used car prices are just extraordinarily high, because of the chip shortages and supply chain issues and everything else. So they're maintaining that's pushing consumers, you know, into secondary markets as far as for used automobiles, which the price of used automobiles, the overall index has jumped 45% since November of 2020.
I know people that have bought vehicles 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and they're worth more now, you know, after putting 40,000-50,000 miles on them, than what they paid for them.
Right.
But I mean, the inflation plays into that. Supply and demand plays into that. And you simply, especially like pickup trucks, you can't get them. And people are wanting the older stuff versus some of this new stuff with so much of this emissions garbage on it, and stuff that doesn't work, and stuff that you have to hook it up and fix it with a computer rather than with tools. So many sensors on this stuff, on this newer stuff, that some of the stuff is just, you can't even keep it running.
Yeah, it's very difficult, and it requires, well, even the dealerships can't keep them running. That's the whole 6 month thing, you know, or 4 month thing. It's been in there for 4 months, you know. And but yes, absolutely. And I think that they're talking about it being a chip supply. I'm not sure I'd buy that as far as, that may play into it to some degree, but I hear a lot of noise about the fact that I just want something older that runs, you know, we call it beater with a heater, but, you know, they just want a reliable rig when you push the key, it starts and runs and goes and does its job. You know? The whole Bluetooth connectivity, self-parking, pick something, the list of, of what they can do with these new vehicles that has nothing to do with accomplishing any work or any output is incredible. It's all related to things. People were jumping in the cars to play a video game. And it's like, yeah. So, and I seen an article go by the other day that accidents and on-highway accidents have gone up substantially over the last 2 years, and they can't understand why. And with all of the new safety equipment, we've seen that before. They make something so safe nobody can use it, and it doesn't work. I mean, that stuff malfunctions and has problems and everything else. It's like, yep, yeah, we're seeing the result of that, you know, and it's that man has imagined a vain thing, you know. It's just vanity, and it's a tool. It's not a, you know, so I think we see that in the used car market, though. But like you said, yeah, these vehicles are just, some of these vehicles that you even bought used 5 years ago are worth more now than they were 5 years ago when you bought them. So, in some cases. I just thought that was an interesting toss out there that's going on. And we especially see it in the ag world. So a lot of these guys are just really fed up with that. It's hard to feed cows when you fail hauler pickups in the shop with them. So and also you can only afford one. So what do? You know? So
yeah.
It's kind of a bad thing. But yeah. Another interesting thing. So
it is. It really is. Yeah, a lot of things going on. Well, what else do you see going on in the world?
I think it's interesting that we've got all these. We're continuing to see a lot of earthquakes and cyclones, and we've got some really big EMP action going off the sun. We've been hit with some major coronal mass ejections over the last 2 to 3 weeks that are big. And I just look at that as birth pangs from the Lord for the earth. I mean, I think the earth is God's creation is responding to the abuse that it suffers. So, and I feel like, you know, we talk about this farming and our regenerative agriculture a lot, and it's really gaining steam. I mean, as a matter of fact, I remember, wasn't too terrible long ago, when you talk to somebody about it, they kind of look at you like maybe you were a little touched or you were a little, you know, like, what? But, yeah. But suddenly, you know, there's a lot more people that go, oh, I've heard of that. Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting what they're doing. Or I'm doing it. Or we're doing it next year. Or, so, don't you think that's encouraging?
I do. I think it's very encouraging. And I've seen a lot of it and talked to a lot of people. And, there's more people that are getting excited with it. I was talking with a lady in Arkansas, and she's all excited about it, and she's working, doing it. And, basically just completely just changed, broke the mold of everything that they've been doing for years, and decided that we're going to do something different. She read Gabe Brown's book, read a lot of Greg Judy's stuff, and is following, reading basically everything she can get her hands on, and just wants to completely turn around and break the mold and do things different that's ever been done on, you know, a large piece of land down there. And that's exciting. And everywhere you look, you can find people that are practicing that and trying to do things different. And it's exciting. I'm very, very excited about it. And, you know, I've had people that have ordered the book Dirt to Soil, which we have available, and I encourage people to read it because it was just an eye opener to me on a lot of different ways. And it was, it's a story. Even if you're not a farmer or a rancher or anything like that, it's something that it's a story about a guy who learned through failure, but knew God was in control, and decided that he was going to keep trying, and though weary, he pressed on and wanted to do things different, and was able to. God blessed him because of it. It's a neat story, and I've talked to people that have just been excited about it that don't have anything to do with agriculture, but they can see how these practices could change the world. And I believe that, and I believe that it's that there's more people that are trying to get away from the fertilizer companies and the genetically modified stuff to a degree that they can, and it's exciting to see.
Well, and that's that was the thought that occurred to me while you were saying that, the fact that even if you're not in ag directly, we're all influenced by it. You sit down and eat every day, and the amazing amount of stuff that you use. I mean, there's cotton for your jeans. There's all these sorts of things that there's ag affects everyone, whether they know it or not. Like we say, milk doesn't come from cartons; it comes from cows. So. Whether it's your orange juice in the morning, or your coffee, it all goes back to ag. And all money and all wealth comes from the soil, whether it's ag, mining, or timber. And if we bother to look at the areas that they want to destroy and want to control, we see that. They're after full control of the money and your body and everything else. And this breaks that, because we've got these companies out there that they want to patent every seed you plant, and that's God's creation, they want you to dump their chemicals on there, which cause you to need more chemicals. It's a debilitating disease upon the land. And so, if nothing else, and the book is like, if you're not in ag, you can still read it and totally enjoy it. I mean, it's a good read. It's not all charts and numbers either. It's like you said, it's a life story of that man and of his family and of how they managed to save their, family farm and ranch, and the continuing struggle in today's messed up world to make it all work. And I just see, it's kind of like this beef business. We're trying to find places to get cows butchered or steers butchered, and you look it all over, and there have been some things seriously changed. I mean, I called one processor and was looking for an appointment, and he said, "Well, we're booking February of 2023 right now." So
wow.
Yeah, that's just wild. I mean, and I asked him, "Did you say 2023? And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, okay." he said, "I've got a reserve list. I'm sure you could, you could put your name on there, and if somebody cancels, I'll call you." But he said, "We haven't had too many people cancel." So I think we're seeing a return to the land, and to more local food, and to those sort of things that's going on. And they don't like that, And I think they want to make it more dire than it actually is, I guess, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, God is on the throne, and you can't really... during the Dirty 30s, there was a book out once called We Had Everything But Money. I read that a long time ago, and I don't remember who wrote it, but all of our local farmers, and my dad went through it, and I can remember he said, "Well, we didn't have any money. We had food, we ate good, we had what we needed, but..." didn't have any money. And we may well be kind of in, coming up in a situation like that again, you know, where we may have to rethink some of our operating paradigms to work the right way, but that's okay. God makes a way for his people. You know? So they're not going to win. So that's that's the way that works.
Yeah. And I just had a news article that somebody just sent me, and it was it's kind of interesting. It's going to be back on something that we already talked about, which is on the taking the jab. But it says punishment set for U.S. troops who refuse vaccination. The U.S. Army has threatened repercussions for soldiers who decline to receive the COVID-19 vaccination, saying that insubordinate troops will be barred from promotions, reenlistment, and a number of special military services. Army personnel who refuse the jab, including reservists and Army National Guard troops, will now have their service records flagged, preventing them from receiving favorable personal actions such as reenlistment bonuses, promotions to higher ranks, decorations, and other awards. Attending military academies as well as tuition assistance with higher education, according to an official memo obtained by the Defense One on Thursday. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yes, yes. Well, and we're dealing with I just seen an article yesterday on the fact that of course, OSHA suspended their mandatory vaccination protocol for everybody over 100 people. You know, they decided that they're not going to do that. Really, what it is the people decided they're not going to do it. It's like, you know, what are we going to do? But
yeah,
well, and I don't want to lose faith.
Yeah, good point. I just got another one here that this one came in from Derek, and it says. This is what I like about DeSantis so much, is it says, Governor DeSantis signs legislation restricting COVID vaccine mandates in Florida. Private employer COVID-19 vaccine mandates are prohibited. Employers who violate these employee health protections will be fined. Government entities may not require COVID-19 vaccinations of anyone, including employees. Educational institutes may not require students to be COVID-19 vaccinated. School districts may not have school face mask policies. School districts may not quarantine healthy students. Students and parents may sue violating school districts and recover cost and attorney fees. So, yeah, thanks for sending that in.
Praise the Lord.
You know,
yeah.
And it's...
you gotta like the guy.
I do. Encourage people to keep praying for him, because I hope that he just keeps... I mean, he's a politician, but I've been praying for him and praying that he keeps standing up for it the way that that he has been, and it's really encouraging to see, you know, governors that are taking up sticking their tongue at the top of their mouth and saying no, you know, to a lot of these so-called higher ups. But you know, it's Babylon, and it's Babylon coming down. It's them turning against themselves and fighting against themselves, and you know, standing up for what people believe in. And there's a lot of people that are starting to have convictions that did not want to have anything to do with politics in the past, and you know, they're praying for their governors. They're praying for, you know, the people that and they're voicing their opinion, and they're picking up the phone and they're saying, hey, this is what we want done. People are getting fed up all across this country, and that is encouraging to see, is people that are, you know, they've had all they can stand, and they can stand no more.
That's right. Yeah, well, they're turning away from the God of government, and the unspoken part about that is a huge number of them are turning back to God. So, God does that. You know, I mean, it's like, well, where can I go to the Lord?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that in the midst of all this, that California is out of water. I mean, it's like there's parts, and I don't think it's, I think it's a sign of the times, but, you know, they're so green and so controlling and everything else. And there's places in California where when you turn on your tap right now, you don't have any water. They're trucking water in under emergency rations or under emergency conditions. So
yeah, and I don't think that there's any way possible that they can truck in enough water in some of those areas. I mean,
well, no, yeah. I mean, think about that for a minute. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So just for drinking water, that's an issue. So, and some businesses are water critical. I mean, you have to have. We have different places, and they have taken God's creation, man, who was given dominion over the earth, out of the equation, you know, and said, well, we're a blight, we're a parasite, and I think what they're talking about is themselves, and they don't know it, but not God's creation. But, you know, they're trying to circumvent the order of dominion and stewardship that was given to man. So, and this is the price they pay. You know, we end up with cities that are full of homeless people and have no water and have no toilet facilities and have no food conditions and everything else. And I mean, I think that God is just is bringing them down, like you said. And it's like, well, you can't do that and get by.
I know, that's for sure.
Sorry.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've only got a few more minutes, folks. I want to tell you that we just did get the Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 6, out into the mail last week. And so if you haven't got it, you should be receiving that any day. If you're not on that Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list, be sure to let us know. We'll put you on there free of charge. You can send an email to jason@sfaw.org and give me your address and we'll put you on that list. And if you'd like to get it emailed to you, then we can do that as well. We're working on the online version. We always get the printed version out first, and then we work on the online version and the digital version, I guess I should say, and we'll get that mailed off here real soon. But do encourage you people to get this. It's I just had somebody email me the other day, and they wanted 5 copies because they were going to give them away to their some of their family members. So it's a good tool to reach people. We do send it out free of charge, and should be getting that here real soon if you're on that list. You can always write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766. LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We do appreciate hearing from you folks out there. And remember that it is your tithes and donations that keep this ministry running and keep sending stuff out. So keep that in mind. And we do ask that you pray for us here, and we do pray for you out there as well. We encourage you to join us for church tomorrow. Go to scriptures4america.org, www.sfaw.org, and you can watch the live streaming church service from the LaPorte Church of Christ. And you can also listen in on shortwave, on satellite, here on the internet as well. Exciting times that we're living in. Just want to encourage people to keep the faith, keep praying, trust the Lord. Do not fear, do not grow weary of doing good, and do not fret because of the evildoers. I mean, and that's one of the a commandment that you can find peace in when you do that. And there is so many things going on, and I know that there are people that are getting discouraged, and I just encourage people to cling to the Lord, to look on the bright side, to try to be positive and take control and have a good positive attitude. It can mean all the difference in the world. So with that said, Tim, what's your closing thoughts?
I think you summarized it just totally awesome. I mean, God's on the move, and we get to be part of it, and we are witnesses, you know. And don't get tired of doing good, like you said. I mean, help your neighbors and put that gospel out there, and you can't stop it. It's God, and he's going to fix it. Dad's coming, and he's going to fix it. So,
amen. Well, Tim, thanks for being here this morning. Folks, thanks for tuning in, and we'll go out with a song, and we'll talk to you later.
Save you. Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the God's word was your standard. How gradually you've compromised. How far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. Church, its walls.